Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We are recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. First things first, last week on the show, we had president and provost of Auguste Escoffier School of Culinary, Chef Kirk Bachman. What a great guy. He's going to be back. I enjoyed this episode personally. And if you missed it, you should go back and take a listen. All right. Today, we dive into the tale of two cities. Well, sort of. We aren't referring to Charles Dickens' depiction of London or Paris, but instead, it's to the back of the house versus the front of the house within the confines of a restaurant environment. Our guest this week is Krista Lepore. She's worked front of house in New York fine dining establishments such as A Voce under Chef Missy Robbins and Chef Anita's Anita Lowe's Anissa, Michelin chefs both. Krista also hosted a Travel Channel show called American Roadhouse. Stay tuned. Krista is on deck. Chefs out there. We've been using Metro hot boxes, shelving, and even their mobile prep cart around the studio and couldn't be happier. If you're planning on reorganizing your kitchen life, be sure to contact our friends at Metro, your partner in organization and efficiency. All right, Jefferson, I know you've probably filleted a few servers in your time. Why do you chefs wanna make servers cry? You bastards. Why? Why do you do it?
Stupidity.
I think so. I mean, I don't think it's... I think you guys are... you give it a raw deal.
No, I think that's a blanket statement. I think there's a time and a place, and then we talked about it offline. I never want to make a server cry. It's just when they lie to you and you have to call them out on it, and then you just do stupid things.
Wait, did you just say a blanket statement and then throw out this whole when they lie to you bit?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
When a server comes back and says, oh, this didn't go in, What do you mean it didn't go in? It's a computer. How did it not go in?
What about when one of your line cooks read it wrong? How about that?
I eat that. I'm the one that sits there and goes, that's our fault. If we overcook a steak, I go out to the table. If the server does a mistake, I go out to the table. But I'm a different breed. I came from the front of the house. I didn't come from the back. So I have, I'd rather go to the front and find out what's going on. There's no wall. There's never a wall in my restaurant. I never wanted it to be a wall. So when you say the Teal Two Cities, that's most restaurants, but there are chefs out there that have a different mindset that realize the first person, the first impression of your restaurant. And I saw our guest coming on the show. I saw one of the things that she was talking about. The most important person is the person greeting your guests. And they're also the most important person as they guests leave. And if they're not having that bubbly personality, if they're not, you know, engaging the guests, then you're missing out because, you know, just like when you have a plate hit the table, and I was watching Brian Duffy do this too, and he's doing like Lamb Wesson with French fries, and he called it out. What's the first thing you do when somebody has a sandwich at the table? You could have an entree, John could have something, I could have something. As soon as French fries hit the table, everyone's going in. Your French fries are doomed the same way. So the first impression is your French fry, the first impression of your door is going to be that server. So it all has to work together. But the statement of like why we make servers cry, I don't want to like make a server cry. They cry because of different reasons. There are chefs out there that are a-holes that do things that they get off on for kicks, poops and giggles.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but that's not me.
What people don't see right now is that I am staring directly
mm-hmm.
into Jefferson's eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm judging him. I am with the wrath of
all the servers that you know, and all at the times periods when chefs used to yell at you when you were a server.
Yeah, but I was different too, though, because here's the thing. I would go out and hang out with the crew from the back always. So, you know, I mean, I was like part of the crew, even though I wasn't.
Right.
And the cats that I've run into who were just total, you know, not nice people, I would physically challenge them. Like it, you know, we grew up in a different time. Like it wasn't like it is today. It was a little bit more wild, more Wild West, you know, sort of a, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to be pushed like that. I don't dig it. You know, but then, you know, there were other people and, you know, servers, you know, even hosts, busboy, like the rest of the people, where if you're not putting yourself in a position where you can withstand what comes from the kitchen, you're going to get swallowed.
Well, but I don't think we need to do that anymore. I mean, you look at, we talked again offline too, about certain chefs that recently passed away and that made their mark. And you look at James Kent, who just passed away at 45 years old of a heart attack. What was he doing? How was he working? You know, I think the work ethic that we have today is different because of what happened with COVID. And coming out, we're realizing that we can't treat people like dirt. And this is one of the things that I'm trying to change, or we're trying to change the mental health attitude and finding the work-life balance. We don't need to have people that are going to be abusive, whether it be sexual or verbally abusive. That needs to stop.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, listen, there's levels to this, mm-hmm. right? You know, when I was coming up in the business, and I don't know how it is now with what I'm going to say, but like, you know, if you're at your POS, if you're ringing your orders in or whatever, sure enough, somebody's going to come up behind you and give you a neck rub. You know what I mean? Like all that kind of stuff. And not
anymore.
Probably not. And that's ridiculous, man. Like I think the camaraderie of that vibe, the way everybody kind of communicated, I like it better how it was. Personally.
Well, you do because you weren't part of the abuse, right?
Well, no, like I said, everybody who, if you're working with people who are abusive, they're going to try to abuse. If you let them, if you don't, then they won't. I mean, that's how I look at it.
Yeah. And I know our guest is going to have something to say to this, but I know like I mentioned something yesterday about depression and something, and somebody came back and said, you hit the nail on the head on that. And we have to do a better job of like figuring things out and talking. This was a chef friend of mine. Here's the thing. There are some of us, like our guest and myself and you, who talk about mental health, who put it out there about the restaurant industry and how this has to change. And people are like, yeah, we're changing. Yeah, but here's the thing, we're not. And it's those people that are being vocal who are changing it. It's the other people that are allowing the abuse to continue that aren't speaking up. That has to be one voice at one time to make this industry change to be better. And that's where we need to go with this. The abuse of making people cry. Yeah, back in the day, it was, I hated it. You know, I hated the abuse. You know, it's when I was a server, you know, the first thing I would be is like, hey, I effed up. Well, like, I need this now. And the kitchen would be like, yeah, go F yourself. And you're like, you're done. There's nothing you can do except go to the table and be just grovel, because then the kitchen just was like, they own you. And that's not conducive, because it's the guest that's being.
So when they tell you that, you never picked up a souffle and then winged it in the back?
No, because again, I worked in the industry from both sides of the ball. I know how it is to be, and I don't know which one's the worst position in the restaurant. I can guarantee you is the dishwasher. It's the most thankless job. And if you're a chef and you're not thanking your dishwasher, then what the hell are you doing?
Well, that's the truth. Listen, before we get too deep into this, what's on the menu today?
This one is, I told you guys last night, this one is probably my best meal I've made in a long, long time. This is a grouper. That was me. Sorry. I did a grouper, but I wanted to go back to my Florida roots. And we talked about this last time. I took plantains and ground them up with some coconut, Latin spices, hit that with the grouper, seared that, had some rice. And then I did a lobster beurre blanc with coconut rum. Reduce that down. And then I had some peas and then some spinach to add on some color. The crunch, the everything you wanted, the umami, the flavor, the textures, everything, even by itself, when you tasted it by itself, it all jived together so good. It's a very craveable meal. I just can't wait.
Me either. You know, the only problem I heard with that description is, like, you said it too fast. You know what I mean? You got to slow it down, baby.
I know.
Man. What are we talking about here? All right. Well, let's get into the topic. Let's get Krista.
Well, she's probably like Jonesy.
She's chomping at the bit. I know she is. All right. Krista, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, yeah. I am chomping at the bit.
Did we get you primed? Are you ready?
Ooh, lots of things to say.
Well, before you jump in, take 30 seconds and just give an airplane view of who you are, what you do.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So I am, my name's Krista. Hi. I'm a front of the house expert, specializes in service, etiquette, and hospitality. I started out back of the house, moved my way to front of the house. I've worked every single solitary front of the house position there is, all the way up through management. I've opened several high profile restaurants here in Manhattan, primarily work in Michelin star, fine dining, and private members clubs. And I hosted a series for the Travel Channel called American Roadhouse, where I traveled the country turning failing dive bars into successful businesses. Mm.
Who do you think you are? No, that sounds awesome. All right.
I mean, it's just a couple of things.
It's a few things.
A few things.
And, yeah. You know, I love when people have the perspective, the dual perspective of, you know, how it works in the kitchen and then how it works, you know, in the dining room and, you know, the dance that happens, as we were kind of talking about in the opening monologue. So, again, back to the proverbial chomping at the bit. What say you? Like, how do? What are your thoughts on this?
Where shall I start? So, first of all, I took notes during that whole thing. The whole making people cry thing. So, I think back in the day, that was sort of the feel in restaurants. It doesn't happen for the most part anymore. And Chef, I know that you talked about, you know, post-COVID, it is very different and people realize that you can't treat your staff poorly. But I think it happened before then.
Yeah, the Me Too movement, and I definitely think really helped that.
Yes, catalyst. That's where I think it started. Yeah. You know, there are still chefs who are actually known and famous for being abusive. David Chang is one of them. And I make no qualms about the fact how I despise this person because of how abusive he is to his staff. And just if anybody is curious, I want to shout out a writer. Her name is Hannah Selinger, and she wrote a James Beard nominated essay about her time working for him. And so I highly recommend everybody read that. So that chronicles sort of what it used to be and actually what it still is in very small places. There are some chefs, I think Chef here was correct, where some actually do enjoy doing it, but I think that for the most part, it has subsided. Now, Chef does bring up a very valid point, where is if the server, the bartender, if the front of the house makes a mistake and doesn't own up to it, that just causes problems and tensions with back of the house. And that shouldn't happen. But I would argue that sometimes, not all the time, sometimes that the reason that the front of the house feels they have to lie is because they're trying to shield themselves from the abuse that will come at them if they tell the truth.
That is so accurate.
So though it's not okay, because we have to remember, and I believe this to my core, it's not about me. It's not about front of the house. It's not about back of the house. It is about the guest. We are there for them and their experience. But sometimes, because being in the front of the house and dealing with all of those different energies and personalities and quirks and how people treat you, and it's all en masse, right? It's all at the same time. Sometimes you just need a mental break. And sometimes you roll the dice and think, I'm just going to lie so I can save myself a tiny bit of abuse here. And it doesn't ever work out well. Because Chef's right, there's a POS. Did you put the order in the computer? Did you hit send? Did you put a hold on it and not release the hold? I mean, you know, that's human error. That's on us. But I think that sometimes the lie is because we're shielding.
Well, that's 100%. You know it too.
Yeah.
When it comes back in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You figure it out. But again, I think it's the way that at the end of the shift, I think the chef has to be the lighthouse for not only the back of the house, but also has to be the lighthouse in the front of the house, especially during the storm. I think you have to be, whoever the chef is, has to be that calm to go out to the table. One, when the chef goes out to the table, you know the poop has hit the fan. You know they're there. Yeah. Go ahead and say, we've got it. This is what we're going to do. I think one of the experiences that we lost from COVID is the experience of dining. But I think what we have also have done is that we forget that without having the ability for 30 seconds, not being greeted, you know, and I've worked for corporate companies where you have to talk for 30 seconds because they want to make you realize what 30 seconds is. If you don't do a greet, that hampers the ability of the guest's overall experience. Again, it's the first impression. So I think if you know that you've got that Friday night, you got flat seated, and you just are just the wheel is just going off. The paper has to be refilled because it's going off so much. The manager has to go to the table and be proactive and say, hey, the kitchen is this, it's going to be an extra amount of time. Hey, you know, get a round of drinks. If we're proactive, there should be no problem at the end of the day when something happens like that. And you can justify the means to the end for the guests so they have a better experience. And that's all communication.
100%. I was just going to say that it's all about communication. It is, you know, I have worked, I was always labeled the black sheep at certain restaurants because whenever I worked a shift, that's when the health department decided to come in for a surprise inspection. Uh-huh. And it never happened when I wasn't there. So
she is the best black sheep because she caused you to mess up twice.
Nobody right. knows what you're talking about. Nothing happened.
Why? What? How dare you? How dare you? So,
wait a second. Wait, Krista. Get off. Hold on. Audience, listen. We do everything live on this show. We're recording in real time. It's not like a bunch of crazy editing and everything. So when I read the opening monologue, I'm reading it, and you know, sometimes you gotta do it once or twice, right? And that's what happened today. And I don't feel bad about it.
No, but she jinxed you. She was the jinx. That's all I'm saying.
All right, I'll take it.
How dare you blame the woman?
Thanks, lady.
Yeah, lady. Typical front of the house. It's always our fault.
It's happening now.
You fell right into it.
It's happening now.
I know. Oh, please, 20 years of this. Come on.
The difference here is we don't get to eat the steak. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's thank you for bringing up. That is one of my biggest issues, said. The eating the mistake. You know how many times servers I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
Bling, bling, bling. Oh, that's a mistake. Yeah, sure.
Nope.
That never happens. That has never happened. Never done that.
A lot of restaurants I've worked in, we've had a rule about that. And I know when I managed, I had a rule about it because it's just not sanitary. It's disgusting. We call it garbage mouthing. They touch the plate, like their germs all, like, especially now post COVID. I'm here in New York City, where apparently there's like a COVID spike again. Like, it is just not sanitary. It's not worth it. It goes in the garbage.
Yeah, that's
no. You got to catch it before.
No, I'm talking about it wrong. I'm not talking about the mistake hit the table. I'm talking they ring it in and go, it was a mistake, yeah, so they could eat it. I'm not talking. I'm one of those that if it hit the table, it goes in the garbage.
Yeah, of course.
I don't even care. Yeah.
No, we're talking about you ring it and then they make it and you're observing the making of it and then you're like, oh.
Wait, there's nobody at table 86. Why is there food for table 86? Oh, that's a mistake. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Not good.
How do we fix it? How do we fix it?
Well, it's going back to before you blame me for your opening mistakes. We were talking about communication, gentlemen. I was talking about when the health department comes in for surprise inspections, as you all know, kitchens come to a halt. They come to a complete halt. Nothing is coming out of that kitchen. And what I learned is that, and this is what I used to do, I would go up to all of the tables and be like, hey, just want to let you know, health department just came in for a surprise inspection. The kitchen's on a halt. It's going to be a while for your food to come out. Here, let me top off your wine. Here, let me bring you another, like whatever I can bring you. And then as soon as that happened, everybody's shoulders just relaxed. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because we communicated with them. We did not wait until they started looking around the restaurant like, where's my food? At that point, you're past the point of no return. You never want a guest to get to the point where they're starting to look around.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Well, you had me top off the drink. You know what I mean? Like that works for
Listen,
me.
I always walk over to the table with a bottle of wine and it's like, let me just top this off.
So here's what happened to me the other day. Jeff, we were, Veronica and I were out, cold calling, you know, we're working.
Right.
And I'm not going to say the name of the place. We stopped in for a bite and it's a big brand name, but it's not ultra corporate, but it's a big name. And we're sitting on the patio, which is inside, but it's not in the main dining room. And everything's great. Server is great. Food's great. Everything's really super. And then I'm sitting there and I'm looking and sure enough, we're in Florida, right? And sure enough, there's a little critter, you know, scurrying across the floor.
You're in the patio.
Yeah, but it was still covered inside. It's not outside patio. It's inside patio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, man. Dang it. You know, it's a killer. And it's busy. It's full. But nobody sees it because I'm looking around. I'm trying to – I observe these things, right? And sure enough, this little stinker, he scurries his way. He's by me. So I just drop a napkin on the floor, and I get him. And then I left the napkin there. But now I feel like a slob, right? And I'm like, oh, people think I'm a pig. And I'm not, right? Very – so anyway – we pay, we leave. I see the server and I was like, hey, listen, by the way, on the floor, you see that? I'm not a gross person. Under it is this thing. And the server was so cool. Just, you know, it's like, oh my God, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks for telling me. I didn't want her to pick it up and there'd be, you know.
Remnants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but, you know, these are the things that happen in the business and you got to figure out your ways around it. You know, even like being from it. And then we still go out and eat. We have to help. Like it can't just be, go in, see something like that, and then just leave it. Or if there's something, if there's a mess in the bathroom, we're from the industry. We should be making sure that if we see something, we got to say something. Help them. Help these people.
Well, not only that, I think, and Krista will agree with me too, is how many times when you have a bad meal you say something, but how many times when it's a good meal you say something. We have to be balanced in both.
Yeah.
Because if you got a call out first, I mean, prime example, I was at Outback and Todd, who went and did a review when he listened to it. I met Jeff that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
So Todd was my server. They were busy. They got flat set. We sat down. He came over. He rocked it. And I was like, hey, where's your MOD? And by the way, that's manager on duty for everyone. And he goes, "What is there a problem?" I'm like, I just want to let them know how great of a server you are. He's like, oh my God, can you do this? And it was like a review and they get to something like that from the corporate, which I did. But that's the thing. Yeah. Like we're society so hell-bent on the negative side of things. Oh, that. Well, then point out something that was great because the restaurant can't be all bad.
No. And the reality, and by the way, so Todd,
right.
The server,
right.
From which location?
The one off of 60.
Was that Plant City?
No, Brandon.
Brandon.
Yeah, okay. Right by the mall.
Brandon, Florida. Okay, yeah. Awesome. Good job, Todd. So, you know, when it comes down to what makes somebody, a guest, come back to the restaurant, obviously, if the food's great, hey, they're going to come back. But if your service isn't.
They're not.
I don't care how good your food is. Like, it's not correct. Worth the aggravation.
Mm-mm.
Chris, am I wrong?
Correct. No, you're correct. And actually, I think I said this to you when we first met. For me, fabulous service will always save a bad meal, but a fabulous meal will be ruined by bad service.
100%.
Every time.
Yep. 100% agree with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure today. You know what? Maybe I should go and do a server stage somewhere. You know what I mean? Like just go in and like.
No, you hate people.
I do. I hate people now.
That would not work. You should not do
a
server stage. You're like Statford or Waldorf from the Muppets, the old guys in the balcony.
Don't say that.
That's not,
you and I are both. We criticize. We sit here and criticize.
I know, but I feel I don't want to be. I'm out of touch with this, and I don't feel like I should be.
Yeah, no, but you're really not, because if you're someone who goes out to eat, then you're involved in it. Everything in the industry is community based. We're not, at the end of the day, everyone's going to shake their head. We're not doing brain surgery. No one's dying, hopefully, at the end of the meal.
No.
We're serving food, for crying out loud. So why do we put so much pressure on things?
Wait a minute, though. No, man. Yeah, I disagree a little bit. But listen,
the pressure is there because how many restaurants are there?
Oh, yeah. And how many of them fail?
Right. So what is going to, so let's assume, all things being equal, everyone's food is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to make you come back to my restaurant over your restaurant?
It's got
to
be service and the experience.
It's how you feel. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
atmosphere.
How you feel.
Yeah, it's everything. It's the service, it's the atmosphere, it's the experience in its whole. Like you can name like Albert's brother, Adrian, who has tickets in a whole bunch of different restaurants in Spain. It's the experience that you're going to. The Michelin star restaurants here in Tampa that just got the Nanad or Kalantis's restaurant. It's you're going there an experience. You have also an expectation when you walk into those. It's it's the ones that you go to that you have no expectations that blow you away.
Right. And that's
what we should be shouting about.
Right. Exactly. That's when, what Carl said, you should be, Yelp has done, I think, the industry a great disservice.
Yeah.
And I think now all of these alleged influencers on social media have done the same thing. Like on my TikTok and Instagram feed, I'm constantly seeing like fashion influencers, makeup influencers that are doing restaurant reviews because they have millions of followers and the restaurants are bringing them in and they're, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I don't want advice from a fashion influencer about food and service. I don't. If I want to really know how food and service is, I want somebody who's in the industry that can pinpoint, this is why this is great, this is why it's not so great, and this is where they can improve. I'm not going there just to blow hundreds and hundreds of dollars just because an influencer told me to. But that's sort of, I think, where the restaurant industry is sort of going right now, which is a little disheartening. But I think it is really important to point out the positive, because a lot of people don't do that. Back to what you were just saying, Todd deserves all the shout outs. Because that's fabulous that he was just slammed and yet your experience was still amazing and he was able to do that for you. He deserves all the accolades and there should be more of that.
Well, and that's the thing. Like when we have an issue, when I do have an issue with whether it be customer service without being in the industry or within the industry, you point out the facts of, hey, this is what was going good and this was what I need to be corrected. I think we have to balance it out, because too many times in this industry that we only focus on the negative, and that's because they're trying to get, and I'm not saying this for everyone.
Likes and views.
Well, not only likes and views, but they're also trying to get their free meal, right? There was one major player in the world that changed the course of everything. And it was the grovel effect of the manager kneels down to get low and then talks to you about it and then comps your meal. And they're like, oh, I can get comped here. Well, then I'm going to try that over there. And that's what needs to...
Well, I'll tell you what. When we first started doing this, food media thing, and this is like in the very beginning, it was like I had a GoPro with a Rode mic attached to it, right? And it had the dead cat on it, right? That's the fluff that just makes the... you don't get the wind break.
Okay.
They call it a dead cat. So,
I'm just looking at John. John's shaking his head. Yes, that's correct.
He's
the photographer. He's giving cred.
Right. So, there was a little camera stand, whatever. Walk into a restaurant, and it was like three of us. We sit down, and all we were going to do is have the camera on the table, and we were going to talk about the food. This is in the very beginnings of this. We're just experimenting and trying to find a path, right? And I see the GM walking by, who I thought was the GM anyway, and he turned out to be, and he was kind of side-eyeing me. And then I see him like behind the wall with his head, and he was like, he's trying to figure out who we are and what the hell we're doing, right? So he comes over and he says, and he kneeled down, and he says, what are you guys doing? And I said, well, we're gonna do some video here. And talk about the experience. Oh. And he got excited. His eyes lit up. He goes, oh, wait here. I want you to try some stuff. And he brought out a bunch. We didn't ask for it, and I wasn't expecting it. But he brought out a whole table full of food. And we did this whole giant review on it. It was really cool. But it wasn't expected,
Right.
And I don't expect that anywhere that we go, that they treat us that way. Unless it's part of an arrangement that we're doing some sort of a, long-term sort of a deal or whatever,
right.
that's different. But, to just walk in and do a review, man, I don't want nothing free. I want it on my own accord.
Right.
Yeah. I've waited on a few influencers at various restaurants. The restaurant was rolling out a new dish and they wanted to get some views on it. And it's never a good experience. It just is not. because you know everything that they're doing is comped. And I'm not going to say this for all influencers, the ones that I have had personal experience with, they take advantage of that. Because they're there for a specific dish to try it, photograph that, talk about that. But the next thing you know, the bar bill is like, you know, there are five cocktails in each and they're this and they're that. It's like, okay, guys. So it's just, it has never sat well with me because it just feels like being taken advantage of.
So I agree
because
with that.
We still have to do this service soup to nuts like we do with everybody else. They deserve the same experience, but it colors the experience as an employee, as a server.
So I agree with that. And in the end, I'm hoping that these people, you know, leave adequate gratuity, but here's the scenario.
Sometimes.
Probably not. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Here's the thing though, in today's world, food world, we need the camera. We need the picture. Yeah. We need to, you know, post and publish the stuff that we eat. It's just like the new thing. It's the dance and you have to do it. Cause if you're not today, cause I know food businesses, and I'm not just going to say restaurants, but food businesses, whether it's a distributor or this or whatever, the ones that are not out there on social media, they're missing out. You're just missing out because everybody else is out there. And you're going to be the one, what, under a rock, you know, just hidden somewhere, a hobbit? Like, what is that? I don't know.
We've already talked about it with marketing. What's the first thing to go with marketing when a restaurant industry, when a restaurant loses sales?
Right. But, so it's, I'm saying this is a tightrope walk because while I agree that, you know, we know a lot of influencers here in our area, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the people that we know are pretty legit.
Yeah.
Right. With that said, there are frauds everywhere.
Everywhere. Especially in New York.
In Florida, too.
Sorry, but listen, I love my town, but like it's like I said, the influencers that you're seeing now with certain restaurants, they have nothing to do with the food industry. They have no experience in the food industry. And it's not that you have to be immersed in the food industry to know what good food is, but if I want fashion advice, I'm going to go to somebody who works in the fashion industry. Because what's happening for me right now, I'm like on my socials, people slide in my DMs all the time, not asking for dates, by the way. They slide in my DMs asking me restaurant advice. They're like, hey, my husband and I went out to dinner the other night and this is what happened. What do you think should have happened or what should we have done? Like daily this happens. And so there is a thirst out there for people wanting to have knowledge from people who are actually in the industry.
Well, we talk differently, right? I mean, you have the etiquette of having the ability to speak chef to another chef where most people don't.
Yes.
Because you went from the back of the house to the front of the house. So you know how to communicate. You don't go up there and you don't approach, hey, I need this right now. It's like, chef, may I call? And then you have that conversation because that's respect. A lot of people, yep. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't realize in the restaurant industry in itself, we do things differently. We act differently. We have different means of communicating and forms of communicating. One is the plate, obviously. Yeah. But
it's a different language.
100%. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about my thing is when I've been in the industry for 40 years, most chefs are introverts. How do you get through to somebody who sees the wall as their protective barrier so they don't talk to people? How do you get them to come out of their shell to then explain dishes to the staff to like, that's something that's so difficult to achieve. What could you give advice to somebody about?
So I've worked with a couple of chefs like that. And what happens is, as with any relationship in life, you have to build trust. And it's especially with chef-driven restaurants, what they are creating is art. It really is. I remember working for, and we talked about this a little bit offline, Chef Anita Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
She would test us a written test quarterly And those tests were harder than any tests I had in college. And they would take a minimum of 1 hour. And if we didn't pass, we weren't allowed to work there until we passed.
Wow.
And these tests were, you had to know what was the inspiration for this dish, where it was sourced, what farm, the microgreens. I mean, everything we had to know. And that is oddly how you build trust with these chef-driven restaurants, with these chefs who are creating things. If you know their artwork, what their creation is inside and out, if you walk into that kitchen and you treat everyone, especially the dishwasher, you treat everyone with respect, eventually you build that trust. And so then it would get to a point. There was one chef I worked with, Chef Morimoto, actually. His stuff was absolute artwork. It was some of the most extraordinary plating I have ever seen. But it would get to a point once he trusted me, when we had celebrity clientele there, he would come out with the plate and he would put it down, and then he would look at me and he would tap me on my wrist very gently. And that meant for me to do the talk. And he would allow me, while he stood there, to go through his entire dish and what it was about, and how he meant for the guests to enjoy it. That's all trust building. And so that's how you do it. And it's by respect. You have to respect the kitchen. You have to respect everyone in the kitchen. I would go into work on a lot of days, and I would say hello to everyone back of the house and be like, hey, do you guys want water? I would go get quart containers, fill it up with ice, water, coffee, whatever, bring it back to everybody.
That's the deli containers.
Showing them
way.
Respect.
That's the kitchen cup.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's
yeah.
the Chinese yeah. quart container with the hole yeah. popped into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cambro came out with it already done, by the way.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's cool.
My buddy Andrew up in New Hampshire had one, and it was like, it showed like the lines. It was funny, like chef sayings on it. It was great.
That's hilarious. Yeah. If you ever watch The Bear.
Yeah.
In The Bear, they're drinking coffee out of quart containers. That is the norm. But so that you have to build trust. And so it was the same with Chef Anita Lowe. Chef is very shy, Chef Anita, but people would travel from all over the world to come and eat in her restaurant. And the first thing they would say to me when I approached the table, be like, oh my God, is Chef Anita here? Can we meet her? Can we meet her? And she's very shy, but because she trusted us, we built that trust and respect with her. But because she also, by the way, is the chef and the leader, she created an environment and a culture where we were not divided between front of the house and back of the house. We were one.
Yeah, and I think that's very important.
Make a transition easier.
And that's what's important. You see, the problem is somehow or another, servers over the years, just like salespeople, Jeff, you know, and the similarities are there. If you get branded a slacker, then that just carries with you, right? But it's not just individually; it's like a group consensus. So back of the house people look at servers, front of the house folks, as slackers, you know? I think there's a disconnect on how difficult it is to deal with guests, because the reality is hungry people are hard to deal with. People who are hangry are hard to deal with. And, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, 30 tickets on the wheel, and, you know, Expo's a mess, and, you know, you've got that whole orchestra back there happening. It's one thing, because it's labor, it's sweat, it's pointy stuff, you know, it's not easy. But you know what? You know what isn't easy? Having to explain why it's taking X amount of time long or whatever. Having to explain to somebody who's expecting something and they're hungry about it. That's difficult.
That's why there should be a federal law that everyone should have to work in a restaurant business for at least a year.
100%. I agree with that.
Because they would agree. They would figure out what it's like to work in that. You know, it's one of those kiss of death when you have like, and I did when I was a server at one time. I'm a lawyer, and I put myself through law school being a server. I was like, I'm not getting tipped. I got the verbal compliment, not the monetary compliment, right?
Yep.
And it's one of those things that, you know, being in the industry so long, you've seen so many different things. Here's the justification for that hangry comment you meant. I can go home and cook. I can cook pretty much anything, right? Now I'm different because I'm a chef. I've been doing it for 40 years. When I go out, I'm going out for the experience. That's why I don't go out to a place where I'm going to have to cook my own damn food, like the Melting Pot or like these hot
Korean pots, barbecue. Right?
Korean bar- yeah. So, no.
It's a fun don't.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. For me, it's a no. Because no, I want to have
why
the experience.
I hate chef's tables. Yeah, right. I feel like I'm at work.
Right. I don't. I want to be, when I'm going out because I'm being waited on. I'm going in for the experience. I'm going in for flavor profiles that I've never experienced before. And that's what I'm going for. I'm going for dining. And I also have expectations that are like attached because a lot of people are like, oh, you're just too bougie. You don't want to go there. Well, no, I go in with expectations, right? If I look at the menu and I don't know the menu, I don't know the chef or whatever, but I see it's like $50 for a plate. Well, my expectations just went up to a $50 plate. But if I'm blown away by that plate.
What, you're just looking for kimchi on the menu. That's all you're looking for.
Well, besides other things, yes. Yeah. But it's about flavor. It's about experience. It's about the camaraderie, building that memory.
By the way, speaking of kimchi, I had a cheesesteak, ribeye cheesesteak with, it was kimchi. Was it gogurang? What's it called?
Which one?
Gochujang.
Gochujang is the paste, and then gogurang is the actual powder.
Paste.
Okay. Gochujang.
Yeah. Wow. It was this whole, my goodness, was it delicious. I thought of you, man. I almost called you.
Where were you? Why don't we go there after the show?
It was Yard House.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well, I was going to say, let's go to New York.
It's good.
Are you going to go to Fancy Food, by the way? Are you going over to Fancy Food? The show?
I say that one more time.
Are you going over to Fancy Food show?
I don't know.
Oh.
Perhaps.
Because it's in New York. I just don't know what part.
I know. I talked to Pooch this morning, and he's going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pooch is going to be there. Yes.
Yeah, Pooch is everywhere. Bacoos.
He needs somebody to hold the camera. Go.
Or somebody to interview.
That's not me. I don't have a steady hand. Yeah.
Nice. No, servers don't have steady hands.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
They have probably.
Except when I'm carrying a martini. Yeah.
Especially topped off martini.
Just for giggles.
The worst.
I don't want to drink PTSD. Anything where I have to be careful, like touching, just looking at the glass. Like, I don't want it.
Well, no, she just said it. I love what she just said. I don't know if you heard that.
PTSD. Yeah.
Yeah. PTSD. Yeah. That is like trying to carry that to the table with that. No, thank you.
No, it's terrible.
It's all those things that people don't think of that, you were talking about mental health earlier. It's not just the guest, and it's not just the relationship with the back of the house, and it is everything. And when you are in the weeds and you've just been like quadruple sat and you're going to the bar and you have everybody's wants like 20 espresso martinis now. So you have to go and make the espresso and then run it to the bar and then they have to make the martinis, carrying those on a tray. And then it's just, as I'm talking to you about this, the anxiety is rising in my body. It's stressful. Because you don't want them spilling everywhere.
To this day, I won't go. I don't like to eat at places that have sizzling fajitas. You know what I mean?
Like from your days at Bennigan's?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it like poison.
Or is that from California Cafe? What was that cafe?
Well, Beverly Hills had them too. Cafe, yeah. Everybody had those stupid things back then. Yeah. I hate that. I don't ever want to I smell them. Like once in a while, you go somewhere and somebody will come up with like a. You know, it'll be a freaking fajita. It's like, wow, are they still making that? Get out of here with it.
You know what's worse than that? It's all the tableside stuff.
Ugh. Yeah, that too.
Let me flambe this tableside. Let me do your Dover sole tableside.
If that's all you're doing, because usually now they have like somebody specific doing like tableside guac or something like that. Like it's one person that goes around the restaurant doing it. That's not bad.
Yeah, but you're talking about like having the rondeau, right? The cart, the French cart.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. And the crepe Suzette. So you were talking back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go back to that. I think the experience has to be justified.
Like if you go to Rocco's Tacos, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
They do their tableside guac. It's awesome. Right. I love it.
But You look at Tavern Europa back in Hollywood, right? Off of Hollywood Boulevard back in the day when you got done with Shenanigans or whatever, you went over there.
Yeah.
They're dancing on the table, throwing plates. Used to be that way. And then the plates got too expensive, so they changed.
Right.
But it was all about the experience. Restaurants you can name. I can name a couple different restaurants. You went there because of the experience, not because of the food.
Well, yeah, but that's different.
Right.
And that's for locals. You know what I mean? Like, that's your dive, local, watering hole. Yeah, but
we're still talking about the industry as a whole. I mean, the industry as a whole needs to change its whole manifestation of this is what this is about, you know, oh, you only work 12 hours?
Yeah, but Baker listen, hours. When you know that, like, well, for front of the house, like, if you're the place that...
Oh, here goes front of the house. It's really going to build the wall right now?
Yeah, there's a wall.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go.
No, it's not even a bad thing. So when you're front of the house and you're the spot that other people from the business end up, you know you're going to make money. And you know... And even though the expectation for service is... It's actually lower. Like you go because you're like, man, I'm going to give these people a break. You know, like as the guest, like if I'm from the business, right? I go to a place and it's a place that everybody goes to from the business. I'm not going to be so hard on these people, and they're going to get a fat tip. Like, it's just the way it works. That's how it always was.
Yeah, but there's a flip side to that. The flip side to that is, yes, they're going to be more generous, not just with their wallet, but also they realize how busy you are. They can look around.
Yeah.
The flip side is they're also going to be the last table in the house.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And you know, eventually we all like to go home to our lives.
Well, you know,
at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, exactly. And that's the problem with that scenario. Right.
Well, so family members of people who work in the business have to know that they're going to get the worst service than anybody in that restaurant. Like, when you have family or friends that come to the restaurant and they're in your station, they're there, and all of a sudden you just get triple sat. Your friends, guess what? They're the last ones to get served.
Unless your mother, unless your grandmother snaps her fingers.
Well, I'm like, you're not your grandmother. Yeah. No, that doesn't count. No. Grandmas don't count.
Yeah, when grandma snaps her fingers, then I go off.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
I'm pushing back on that. That's a no. At least in my experience, I worked for Stephen Starr, and we opened one of his restaurants, and I had his family there, his kids, his ex-wife, his, you know, everybody.
I'm not talking about I'm talking about like
my family,
Krista. Like, different. Yeah. If Carl, if like, so if, and again, this is a million years ago, but if I'm serving and John comes in, and he sits down on my section.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk.
And it doesn't matter. John's getting the worst service in the house. It just is what it is.
He does now.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrible. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Love you, dude.
This is talk about walls, man. Talk about walls.
Yeah, let's build those walls, Carl.
Well, because hold on a second. I want to just be really clear about this. If the owner or the chef or somebody's like family, they get treated like royalty. I'm talking about them.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about your friends.
Your family.
Your family.
My friends would come in at the end of the night and sit at the bar. They wouldn't even come to a table.
Mm-hmm. My friends walked in the door, and if we were going to close in a half an hour, they left. They were told to leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, what are you
straight
doing?
Up. Yeah. You did not come into my restaurant. Nope.
Why are you here?
Yeah. We close at 10. Yeah. It's 9:45. You're not getting food, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sorry.
We're already breaking down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was pre-close started happening at 9 o'clock.
Absolutely. Every night. Yeah.
True story.
We do too. Yeah.
All right, Krista,
Any other walls you want to build today, Kyle?
I'm building them, walls? Breaking them down.
I like her.
I told you. I told you. All right. So let's start ending on. Have you ever waited on any celebrities? Any you take care of celebrities?
Got a ton. Yeah. A ton.
Why don't you pick a story?
Welcome to New York City. Yeah.
New York City. Why don't you, do you have any dish you can give us? Like, what's up?
I'm pretty sure.
I have a lot. Oh, yeah. Okay. I have a lot. But let's,
pick one.
Since you know, I'm going to do a positive one as to Boo. Not, well, you know, all this wall building. Let's do a positive one. If I come back, there's plenty to go around, trust.
Okay.
But there... This one is important because this speaks to sort of a front of the house mentality. It also speaks to our culture in regards to media. So I think it's important to talk about. And so this has to do with preconceived notions. There was, I waited on Anne Hathaway and her husband, Adam. They were coming from a movie premiere. And I was not really a fan of, I've never met her prior to this. Wasn't really a fan in interviews and the way the media sort of portrays her. And, you know, she comes across as very precious, and that's just not my thing. And so when I was walking towards my section, I saw she was seated there. In my head, I'm like, oh, great. I got to deal with this one. And so I walk over to the table. You know, I did my normal, hey, welcome, you know, blah, blah, blah. They are two of the nicest human beings I have ever met. And her husband is a doll. I mean, they were so sweet and genuinely sweet, not that fake Hollywood BS. Annie is into sort of astrology. She heard me talking to the table next to them. That guest, their birthday is in October. My birthday is also in October. So we were both Libras. We were talking about that. Annie overheard the conversation. She's like, wait a minute. You're Libras? I'm Scorpio. I'm November 12th and blah, blah, blah. And so we just started talking about this whole thing. So anyway, it was a great night. They were beyond lovely. They tipped very generously. As they were leaving, they were saying goodbye to me, and they were talking to the maitre d'. And I said, listen, they wanted to rent out the PDR for Annie's birthday to do a birthday party. They're like, we really want Kristen to take care of us. And so they requested me to take care of them, which I thought was lovely. And then Annie came up to me and she's like, I'm not going to see you for your birthday. Happy birthday. And she gave me a big hug. Really lovely interaction I had with them. And it was a really big lesson to learn, because I had already decided in my head I was going to dislike her. And so I was very happy to be proven wrong. And I think that happens a lot with us in front of the house in general, celebrity or civilian, doesn't matter.
It's true, though.
Yeah, but that you well, the reason why you know judge is because you've kind of if you've been in it long enough, you can kind of pick them. You know what I mean?
Well, and you've been long enough, but you should also realize that you don't judge, because something can happen where you get turned around that.
No. I disagree with that wholeheartedly, but I am always pleased when I'm proven wrong.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
but you still got to go in.
I love it.
I mean, how many times have you huddled? You know, you're like, oh man, look at this. Oh man, this is going to be terrible. Have a great experience, nice gratuity. And then you go back to your, compadre in the back, and you're like, you know what? I'm wrong. Wow. That was awesome. You know, I mean,
I was totally wrong about her. And it was a good reminder for me to just take every human being at, you know, face value, who they are, and give everybody an equal shot. So it was a very valuable lesson to learn. And you know, I enjoyed it actually also. And I think this is what some people, again, doesn't matter, celebrity, civilian, I think people forget that you as the guest, you can actually make our front of the house, our shift at work, easier. You can make our job a more enjoyable place to work just by how you treat us.
100%.
And I think sometimes people forget that, because I think sometimes they think servers are servants, and those are two very different things.
I was just going to say,
who treated me like equals.
Who wants to make your shift better? better. Nobody. Like, nobody does. You know? Maybe Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway does. And you know what?
Anne and Adam. Anne and her husband, Adam. He gets equal billing because they were both delightful.
Well, if the Hathaways are listening, thank you on behalf of the entire industry for being good people.
Well, not only that, it'd be if you watch her Instagram, she talks about another celebrity, about how much of a person of not good intention was to the staff. And she calls that person out. So she has balance. It's Zachary. Mm. I didn't even know who the dude was. I actually had to look him up. He was from Star Trek.
Oh, Zachary Quinto? I called him out. Yeah. I can't have that. There was, this was in the news recently. There, it was in Toronto, I believe.
Yes.
There's a restaurant that actually took to Instagram to discuss how horribly Zachary Quinto, or Quinto, I don't know if I'm saying it right, how he badly he treated their staff, to the point where I think he actually made their hostess cry. And for a restaurant, now again, I was not there, but I have never, I've been doing this, I know you've been doing it 40 years, I've been doing it 20. I have never, ever seen a restaurant take to social media to talk badly about a celebrity unless it was really bad.
And barred him.
Yeah.
And said, you're no longer welcome back to our restaurant.
Oh, barred him.
Yeah.
Barred from coming back to the restaurant.
Well, hell yeah.
So kudos to that, because and one of the things I was going to ask you about, like, how do you feel about when Yelp, you mentioned that specifically, and how horrible that is, because everyone is now a food critic. How do you feel about when chefs do a professional job of challenging somebody? Because this is a whole new world for us.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting. I come from the world where you don't respond, but it is your business. And there are a lot of people that work in that restaurant that rely on that restaurant to live and pay their bills. And so I think if it's professional and respectful, and if it's a legitimate critique, like, you can read Yelp reviews and you can see who's just being a jerk because they want to be a jerk, or you can see who actually listed legitimate things that, you know, like, when they walked into the restaurant, there was no one there to greet them and they stood there for 5 minutes. That's legitimate. When they were seated, you know, food came, there was three people, it was a three top, two entrees came out, one didn't. And one, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. And then one entree dragged by a few minutes. That's a legitimate service issue. And so I think if it's a respectful response and the chef or the owner are trying to make it right, that is their intention, and not get involved in a, like, a little tete-a-tete back and forth. But yeah, I think it's totally fine. However, I would say to any restaurant guests out there, if anybody is going out to eat, please know the restaurant wants to know while you're still there.
Yeah, let us correct
the
it.
Opportunity. Yes, give us the opportunity to change that experience for you. Please don't wait until you leave and then jump on socials. Tell us in the moment, and we will course correct that moment.
Well, so to add to that, if somebody says something on social media, the chef or the owner or whatever, the response should really, it shouldn't be a volley. It should just be like,
right,
apologize, come back in and let us make it right. That, but there should always be a response.
I had to do one of those. We had a 3-star response, and the person that wrote it, that was completely, just didn't know what the hell was going on. We were just caught with our pants down. It was like a bus pulled up, and the entire restaurant got flat sat. We only had 2 servers, and I actually went out running the food myself, and I know the table. I hit the table telling them, this is what's going on. I was running back and forth, putting out fires. I actually went to social media and had to put the response, because that person gave us 3-star. And it was just totally ridiculous. It had no compassion for what we were going through. So someone like that is, you have to go after them.
Do they really have to have compassion?
I think they should. I think so, because we're only doing food. Mm. At the end of the day, you're eating food. You go in with a certain mindset when you go to McDonald's, not saying that, and I'm not trying to say McDonald's is bad, but you go in a certain mindset going to McDonald's, you have expectations. But when you go to a place like 11 Madison, you have different expectations. So you have to match the expectation. If you sit there and see people running around like their head is cut off because they're that busy, then let's not be an idiot. Yeah. Obviously, there's something wrong.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. 11 Madison is a whole other animal. What is it, like 500 per person for a tasting menu of vegetables?
tell us how you really feel.
I mean, I think you can tell by the disdain in my voice how I feel about that.
I love your unfiltered filter.
Experience.
I love your unfiltered filter. Let's just keep it that way.
I mean, but the thing is, like, it's not, that to me is gout. Like, I understand you want an experience, but like, do I really need to pay $500 for vegetables?
No.
What are you doing? That's so extraordinary. It's a beach.
I don't know what to say to that.
She's right, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's not gouge. Like, I'm all about a tasting menu. I'm all about an omakase. I love it. Let's do the choreography. Let's have the guest experience, but let's also not gouge the guest.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. There's a chicken, right? So let's say $17 a pound.
Right.
Right. I'm just whole chicken. You're going to charge $80 to $100. You're going to get that for chicken? No.
Mm-hmm.
So the price has to be balanced to what the profitability is on it.
Yeah.
Produce is not $500.
John, no, this is what I'm saying. I don't think it's a $500 tasting. I think it's like $3.95. But
Levin Madison is completely vegetarian. There's no proteins.
Yeah.
So I just told John Levin Madison was completely vegetarian. He just rolled his eyes.
It is. Well, because it didn't used to be that way, but they split.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And so this is the new post-COVID vibe vegetarian.
Oh, no, I need.
No, he needs his meat.
Yeah, I need to.
Speaking of which, you also need your fish, which is.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, we got to cook. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you were talking about grouper earlier, so there you go.
Yeah. No.
I got to cook that.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen.
That meal is happening for him.
All right, Krista.
yes.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thanks for coming on today.
It's my pleasure.
Pleasure's ours. And how do people find you?
You can find me across all socials at Krista Latour.
Excellent. Super easy. I feel I'm going to have a powwow with the gang here. I feel like you're going to be back.
We'll see.
We can build more walls.
I want to build. Yeah,
he wants to build more walls.
I want to do. I love it. I love putting these walls up. All right, Krista. Again, I appreciate you coming on the program. John, Jeffrey. Hate you guys. No, you guys. Love you guys. All right. We'll be back next week. And I'm going to drop on some socials. Who's coming up next week? By the way, Krista, we're going to be putting this out like every day until next Thursday. Okay. We're going to be dropping this episode, posting, publishing every day until next Thursday. Okay.
Excellent. I've been warned.
Indeed. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators.
Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.